In the name of the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we shall pause before the Word of God recorded in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 3, and the words are as follows. And he goeth up into a mountain, and called unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal sickness, and to cast out devils. And Simon he surnamed Peter, and James the son of Zebedee, and John the brother of James, and he surnamed them Boanerges, which is the son of thunder, and Andrew and Philip and Bartholomew and Matthew and Thomas and James the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus and Simon the Canaanite and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him, and they went into an house. Amen. Even though it's been very hot, have you listeners been able to be refreshed this summer? I hope that your summer has included refreshment, freedom from work, from school, from your ordinary day-to-day life. Maybe your summer has also included meeting friends, acquaintances, or maybe you have recreated otherwise in the beauty of nature or in wonder of all that God has created. God's wonderful creations are things that we can be thankful for. One of the greatest gifts of the Creator is that even this summer, we have been able to be in peace, come in peace, and peacefully be refreshed before the Word of God, as we often say, coming as one group. Many people have been strengthened by the idea that is connected to the slogan of these services, I trust in your grace. Isn't it so that when you are able to trust in God's grace, then you have less concern over temporal matters? Hearing the Word of God and hearing the gospel strengthens faith, trust, and allows us to allow God to guide all of our things in our life. This kind of grace of God refreshes us. Each one of us has been called to be refreshed in the hearing of the Word, and it looks like there are a huge flock of people here who have heard this call. As I have traveled through different summer services, what I have thought is that the invitation has been heard. With that hope that you would be able to be strengthened in faith and see friends. One refreshing observation we have been able to make at the great summer services during this summer is that God calls everyone to his grace. Today, there are people from different backgrounds who have come to these services, people with different backgrounds, different kinds of identity, from different nations, from different languages. Each one of us is unique, called to this life. But we are also called before God's grace and God's fellowship. This is the same thought that comes to mind when I read one of the gospel texts of this past week, and more generally, the whole third chapter of Mark, which we read from. Namely, in this chapter 3, it includes three mentions, three places where Jesus is teaching, his miracles, and his grace calling. We're able to bring together a large group of people and different kinds of people. So Mark is quick and fast to bring us to these different gatherings, to different kinds of people, to the important places of the Bible. First, in the beginning of the chapter, in the Sea of Galilee, on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Then he is on a mountain. And finally, they go to the house of Jesus. The verses, before the verses that I read, Mark tells us that Jesus was on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and a large group of people had come there too. And Mark tells us that the people that were there had come from all around Palestine, even from behind the Jordan. They had heard all the things that Jesus had done. He had healed the sick. He had fed the hungry, and he had chased spirits out of the people, corrupt spirits out of people. And so Jesus asked his disciples to have a boat ready so that he would not be stampeded by the crowd. The Sea of Galilee mentioned before our text is a central location in many of the stories in the Bible. And off the top of my, if we think of a few examples, Jesus calmed the sea, he walked on water, and he even produced a large catch of fish for the disciples. So shortly, or in brief, we could say Jesus showed that he was the one who was to be on that lake. He was the one with authority and power. He taught differently than the scribes. And the invitation that he extended included a power. And that invitation is something that should be heeded. And many people did hear that invitation. Some people surely answered the call just hoping for an easier temporal life and didn't care about the other parts of Jesus' speech about eternal life. So we could say that some people came just to listen, to be amazed, and some people left disappointed when they noticed that in addition to good temporal things, Jesus's following of Jesus also meant carrying a cross, Among others, John tells us how many people were offended or hurt by the sermon that Jesus proclaimed. That is the nature of God's sermon, even today. It heals and it offends others. In any case, the invitation of Jesus attracted a lot of attention. And apparently, that boat became necessary because in the next portion of this chapter, Mark takes us on a mountain and the verses that we have read. A mountain is a remarkable or significant place in the Bible. In the Old Testament, we can read how God reveals his will, and he gave the law tablets, clay tablets of the law, to Moses, and many disciples spent time with the Old Testament prophets on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus, and they said that it was good to be there with the former saints. And when Jesus gave and proclaimed his teaching on a mountain, when he proclaimed the famous words of the Bible, and it was also a mountain where Jesus delivered his mission command before ascending into heaven. So, to sum it up, we can say that a mountain is important in the Bible. It is a place where God, a special place where God gives his revelation, and so it is in the gospel text, the gospel verses that we read. It takes place on a mountain, this time with a smaller crew. And it was a very diverse group of people. And if God grants in this sermon, I will go back to this fact. In reality, in the verses we read, Mark doesn't tell us very much, but the key matter that Jesus had first called, or selected, then called, and then he sent the disciples that he ordained. So the key issue here is that the apostles whom Jesus sent were called or invited by Jesus. Many of them were called from the shores of the Sea of Galilee, and later they were sent to proclaim the special revelation of God to all nations through all the world. The Catechism of our state church states, what is that special revelation? God reveals himself to us. He speaks to us in nature, in the phases of nations, and in the fates of humankind. But in particular, God has revealed himself and his will in the Holy Bible and in the Savior, Jesus Christ. The responsibility of the apostles and disciples was then to preach about Jesus. And the Bible reminds us about this too, that this sermon should not be increased or added to by one's own ideas, because God's revelation is already ended. And this is something that we should study more, how God's special revelation, how the God's special revelation was understood before. And we should ask how we should ask God to reveal to us to understand his word and to stay in his word. So in other words, the disciples were not doing their own cause or work. They were performing the work of the one who called them, performing the work in the Holy Spirit, doing that work which was revealed in particular in his word. These verses, in these verses, the disciples were given a duty and the authority to chase out unclean spirits. In another portion of the Bible, in the Gospel of Luke, it says that Jesus sent 72 of his disciples who, when they returned to Jesus, were happy about having spirits being obedient to them. And Jesus responded to them by saying, do not rejoice over that the spirits hear you, but rejoice over the fact that your names are written in the book of life, in the book of heaven. Nowadays, this kind of talk about spirits is not very familiar to us. Instead, or demons. Nowadays, people speak about those things that our reason is able to comprehend. According to the teaching of the Bible, however, there also exists an invisible world of demons and spirits. There is the Spirit of God, which guides us toward what is right and good. Then there is God's opponent, his spirit, which guides us toward selfishness and evil and away from God. And this power of evil is so powerful. The spirit of the evil is so powerful that we cannot defeat it with our own strength, on our own. That is why there's plenty of us for to do when the disciples, there's plenty of work to do in preaching the sermon of repentance. The evil spirits can only be defeated by having your sins forgiven, by the power of the gospel of Jesus. And the special revelation of the Bible is this, that death has been defeated in Christ, along with sin and the power of evil. We can trust in God's grace in Jesus Christ. We can and we should trust in this. And therefore, at these services, even now, the forgiveness of sins has been, forgiveness of sin has been proclaimed in his name and blood. Isn't this that which refreshes us? Even in this sermon, the most important thing is that you do not have to fall under the burden of sin. You can trust that your sins have been redeemed and atoned for in Christ Jesus. And after our text, Mark brings us from that mountain to the house of Jesus. And again, there was a large crowd. And Mark tells us that Jesus and the disciples didn't even have enough room to eat in the house of Jesus. And when Jesus's relatives heard of all the things that had happened and how the multitude had been moving about, they too came into Jesus's home. Although they were, in fact, they were trying to protect him because they thought Jesus had lost his mind. That is how crazy the revelation, the special of revelation of God seems to the mind of man, even to those friends and relatives that know him. This is what they suspected. And when Jesus was told that your mother and brothers and mother have arrived, it was an opportunity to teach them. And he looked at the people that were invited, and also probably those 12 apostles who were probably sitting all around them. And he said, "Behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever does the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and mother." Dear listener, as followers of Jesus, we can come to the house of Jesus and we can be his family members. The family of Jesus included many kinds of different kinds, unique individuals. This family of Jesus, that group of people who followed him, that church, is a group of people who have been called from the world. And therefore, the Christian feels different in relation to the world. But in the verses of the gospel that I read, there were also a list of apostles. And maybe this tells us that within this group, there were the whole range of diverse types of people. There were people strong in faith like Peter, doubtful people like Thomas, and then Simon, who was ready to change the world, as well as Matthew, who was comfortable with how society was set up. And then there were James and John, who were called particularly dear to Jesus. And then there was Judas Iscariot, who betrays Jesus. So Jesus called onto him these 12. And according to Bible stories, these were not all from the same tree, even though Jesus invited them to be in the same tree. Jesus has called us too, and he calls us into his house to be part of his family. Whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and mother. Are we able to live according to the will of God? According to the stories of the Bible and according to my personal experience, we have to say, not perfectly. All of the disciples that were listed and all of us are people who fall into sin because we are not and we do not need to be in full agreement with temporal matters. And it is totally human and understandable that we can get into disputes and quarrels. If we look at this issue of building society in There, it can be done in many different ways. Therefore, we cannot perfectly carry out our relationships with others. We are so different from each other. But, however, we share this, that as sinners, we are able to trust in God's grace. Does this also reveal to us that we also have a joint or common faith in spite of our temporal differences? In this high standard of living of today, there is a foreign way of speaking of the individualism about worshiping the creation rather than the creator. We are unique. It is true. We are unique pieces of creation, and we have unique properties and characters. We shouldn't bring these to the fore or advertise these features and properties of us and make them we have been called as different kinds of people to trust in his grace. Psalm 63 says, in a strong but humble way, that his grace is greater than our lives. Even more important than our personal characteristics and features is being able to trust in God's grace. And in conclusion, along with the meetings that I have had this summer and with others, I remember the young people who, and their parents possibly, who feel lonely, who feel different in the midst of this giant flocks of people. How wonderful it would be if we could take into consideration these different kinds to show love to them, because it is so easy to forget those people who are close to us but are different and have different opinions. It's so easy for us to fall into selfishness in this matter. But we should be able to see. I wish we could see the miracle and to be describing and talking about this miracle, that the call of God's grace is meant for everyone. And in God's kingdom, we are at the same level. There is no men and women in this house. There is no slave or master or free man. There's no Greek. There is no Roman. This is the kind of house I want to invite you to. You who have heard Jesus' call before, but have been disappointed and left. Just as you are, you can believe in Jesus' name and blood, all of your sins forgiven. You can return home where we are all equal at the same level. We are all pardoned sinners, all of us. Even now, remain trusting in God's grace. It is strong in the weak. God's grace is sufficient, and it will take us to the heavenly home. I too wish to ask, can I believe my own sins and doubts forgiven? This is how I promise to believe. In Jesus' name, amen.